Hey, for this morning, let's just kind of pause for a moment and let's open up our Bibles. Let's get our devices on. We're going to go to old school, Old Testament, second book of the Bible. So we got Genesis, then we get Exodus, and we're in Exodus chapter 20 is where we're going to start this morning. Let me get the old spectacles out. So this week, or this Sunday that we're talking, is like we're in the middle, like a sandwich part of a mental health series, three-part series. Last week we talked about mental health. We'll talk about it again today, and then we'll conclude it next week, and then we'll talk about baby Jesus the week after that on the 21st, I promise. But in the Old Testament, I think there's a principle here that is a dramatic tool that can really help us with our mental health. And so often we look at all these different ways to get better and get healthier, but I just want to look at God's Word. Because his word will speak to us so clearly. And we think about mental health. I've got a little slide here just for fun. It's a little bit fuzzy, but it did work out okay. Is that 5% of the population around the world is actually clinically diagnosed with mental health and on medication, 5% of us. 30% of us actually have been diagnosed with some kind of mental health. Maybe we're getting help. Maybe we're on a wait list. Maybe we're seeing a counselor, 30%. 65% of us will encounter mental health in some capacity. And I want to be really careful right here, but maybe this year something's happened, and now this Christmas it looks a little different for you. Maybe there's a you know, one of your children, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's, you know, whatever it happens to be, we will encounter. So all of us, no one is excluded from this. You're not alone. We will encounter mental health in some capacity at some point in our lives. So that's kind of comforting, but also disappointing. Like, oh, come on, thanks a lot, Pastor. Like, this is a negative start to the message. Like, but it's just realistic, okay? We all understand that, okay? So we're all together on that thought. We talked last week about Paul and Silas in the New Testament who were in prison, in chains, in the darkest, deepest dungeon, and they were still able to pray and to worship Jesus. And that actually probably helped with their mental health at that point because it was a difficult situation. And so often we think like this, I said it last week as well, is that I don't want to admit that I have any kind of issue because you feel like inside of your head that you are going to disappoint somebody or you're going to let them down or that you're a failure by having some kind of mental health issue. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. What you're allowing to happen is that you're allowing the enemy to speak to your mind to tell you to not go get help. We'll just keep it all bottled up in here. We'll keep it in the closet in the backyard. But what God wants to do, and why you feel like when you mess up, the last thing you want to do is go to church, man. You're like, oh, I'm so bad and terrible. I didn't even want to go to church today, right? And so we allow our minds to influence our decisions, our actions, when our heart is saying, God loves me. I am not perfect. I'm working towards that. One day when I get to heaven, I will be. But along the journey, what would help me is if I shared my struggles, if I went to church and community and all these kind of things. So I'm glad you're here. It's like a miracle this morning that you showed up and you decided to scrape some snow off or some slush and you got all wet and you still came. Like, that's a win for the kingdom. And so don't ever think lightly of that. So let's look at the word together, though. We're in Exodus chapter 20, and we're in verse 1. Some of us know where we're going already. No cheating, no reading ahead. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and because of that, I want to give you some guidelines. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children of the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation for those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations for those that keep my commands. And that's what I prayed in Jesus' name, as our kids would follow Jesus all the days of life, and their kids and their kids and their kids would follow Jesus for those of us that love them. Like, please, in Jesus' name, would we get that right? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord, your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all the work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your maidservant, nor manservant or any animals or alien within your gates. That's just, you know, foreigners. That's just, you know, people visiting you. There isn't actually aliens. Don't read into that too much. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that was in them. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. Honor the father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord God has given you. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or a manservant or a maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so when we read that, we think, okay, yes, I understand principles in the Bible. I understand those are ways that we should live our lives. But then many of us might respond with the idea is that, hey, I live in the New Testament and I'm under grace. I don't actually follow these commands anymore because I'm saved by Jesus' grace. And so I want to flesh that out just for a moment for you because I think there's something that we can sometimes miss when we think that way. It's the truth, but I think we can misinterpret what it's trying to say to us. So if we went to the New Testament, so again, that's Old Testament, I understand that. Let's flip to the New Testament. We'll go to Romans. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and we've got Romans. So Romans chapter 6. And I apologize, I'm going to flip around just a little bit. I'm not cherry picking. I just want to flesh out a thought here for you real quick. So Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are now under grace." And the writer of the book of Romans, his name is Paul. His name used to be Saul. And Saul used to be a religious kind of person who was very legalistic. He was like, yeah, you know, you're going to, and we're going to dress a certain way. I'm going to breathe a certain way. I'm going to look a certain way. I'm going to do certain things. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to put my whatever, you know. Okay, so he's very legalistic. So now he's saying, hey, I'm not under that legalistic way anymore. But then I think we can lose sight of what we are under. We are under grace. I do get that. Listen to it out of Jesus' mouth. So we're in Romans. Let's just back the bus up a little bit. We're in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. There's this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is giving, which goes on for quite a few chapters here. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it says, You don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but I have come to fulfill them. And so we hear that. We say, oh yeah, we're under grace and Jesus has completed the law and I'm not held by that anymore. Jesus proclaimed that he didn't come to, again, get rid of them. He came to fulfill them. And so what does that actually mean though for you and I? So it means that those who do not follow Jesus, that the law is still very applicable. It's still very, you will be judged by that law. For us as Christians, though, it looks a lot different. Because we're not the same sinful people that we once were. We're no longer bound up by the law, like you did right and you will be in punishment, you will be judged. But we're bound by faith. And we have this grace through Jesus Christ that brings us into righteousness. He paid for, under the law, the things that we've done wrong. And because of that, we're free. Amen. Freedom in Jesus. Isn't that so good? Because the old way of thinking that Paul used to think, like name used to be Saul, like I used to think, like maybe you used to think, is like when you messed up, you feel terrible. You feel like, oh, you've let somebody down and you've let God down. So yeah, we messed up, but God took all of that to the cross with him so that we could be free. So we don't feel the same. We don't act the same. Yes, you feel like, oh, you shouldn't do that. But you know that because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So when you make a mistake, you're like, I know I made a mistake. You don't need to remind me I made a mistake. You know, you feel that, right? And so what do you do with it though? Then you say, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I'm actually freed from that. You already died for that on my behalf, so I don't get punishment. I don't feel that condemnation. Here's why it's so important as well. So again, we're free. I understand that. We're free from the law. We're in grace. We get that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. So again, just moving around just a little bit here. And thank God I got the right one. And I last night I wrote it down 1 Corinthians 5:17. I went to look for it. I'm like, there isn't even a verse 17. So it's 2 Corinthians. Let's go there. 5:17. I'm just being having a little transparency with you. 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old ways are gone and the new ways that I live by the Spirit have been revealed and are upon me. Let's go back to Romans for a second, just for fun. Romans 7. As if it's not fun to go anywhere in the Bible, you know, it's awesome. Romans 7, 6 says, but now by dying to what once bound us up, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way under that kind of grace and through the Spirit. We're not in the old way of the written code. And so we would see that clearly. So we say, okay, yeah, okay, I don't understand. Yeah, Old Testament, yeah, Ten Commandments. Okay, I'm freed from that. But do the Ten Commandments actually still have any purpose or any value for us as Christians now? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Let's look at that together. Let's go back to the Old Testament and look at some verses that speak about this. So let's go look at some prophetic verses. So we'll go to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, speaks prophetically about what is to come one day. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in the trash. You know, we're done with that because now I'm under grace. I don't have to care about the law anymore. What? Like he's going to put it in my mind and he's going to write it on my heart? Not a deep thought for a second. Let's go to Ezekiel as well, speaking prophetically for those of us that live in the New Testament. Ezekiel 11, verse 19 and 20. You know 11 really well. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. For I will remove that heart that's like stone. You know, we're just so stone cold. Like, you know, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to budge. I'm going to give them a heart of flesh, a softness and an openness to the Spirit of God. It's something new. It's like God's done heart surgery, circumcised my heart so it'd be soft and open to the ways of the Lord. And then look at verse 20. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. But why is the law still applicable to me? Why is it written in here and in here instead of just written on a piece of stone? Ever tried to write something on stone? You know how hard that is? Like, you need a tool to make that happen. So, like, why would I follow that? Because it feels like it's like, you're not going to make me follow that. It's like painful. But when we have this new heart, we want to be obedient to God. We want to follow his ways. So we know that we're free from the law, but the Ten Commandments still are applicable to us because we want to honor and we want to obey God. I think that's really important. But do you understand the difference of that, right? Because it's not about me up here just going like, okay, here's the rules. This is, if you do this, we got, you know, where's your little wall? You got your little sticky note out. You're like, if I do this, checkbox. You know, if I do that, checkbox. Like, God's not a checkbox. God is a person and he wants to have a relationship with you. And if he lives inside of you, you will want to obey his commands. Because he wrote them. And now they live inside of you. Isn't that great? And when they live inside of you, in your heart, then the heart will speak to the mind. Because it's the opposite of the way that the body works, right? As your mind starts losing it, the functions of your body stop working. But it's the opposite in the kingdom, I find, is when your heart speaks. It speaks to the mind and it influences the body. And I think so often in our hearts, like we know really historically now, we've been able to get evidence and research, and I've seen these little nanobots go in now and kind of clean out your clogged arteries, right? They're going through certain blood vessels because your heart's not working. There's actually a blockage because it's a heart of stone. And we've got to remove that blockage so that the heart can speak to the whole body. I just love that idea. This is why we follow these commandments. They're helped to guide us and so that we don't bow down and go around stealing or killing, these kind of things. We want to obey them. And when the Israelites, it was written to them, it was so important for that time, but it still makes sense to us today. Because at that time, we even sung about it 400 years. You know, when you're in bondage and slavery for 400 years, like, has anybody been in that for that long? You know, 4 years, 40 years, you know, like a lot of years you've been in bondage. So for me, 23 years of my life, I understand that. And when I got free, it was almost scary. If you got an animal caged up for 400 years and you open the gate, it might be pretty sheepish to kind of stick its head out, because all it knows is whole life is in bondage and in slavery and chained up. And then when you get free, you're thinking, that actually looks scary. What does freedom look like? What does that look like for you? Can you even picture it? Can you imagine yourself free from that? Do you see the other side of that doorway, the other side of that coin, where you're like, I honestly, I don't know what that maybe looks like yet. I don't know the real me. I know God created me as a purpose for my life, but I'm still trying to figure that out. Because we're afraid. We're afraid to open up. We're afraid to share with one another. We're afraid to be transparent. We're just afraid. And so I just pray in Jesus' name that that fear would be lifted in Jesus' name, that we would not feel this condemnation. We'd be like, God, I want to be free. So I'm going to obey your principles because I know that that would be a blessing to me. When we think about the principles in the Ten Commandments, it feels kind of easy, most of them. You know, if we were to do a poll here this morning, let's have some fun. I promise I'm not watching, I'm not keeping track. You know, who would say like, oh yeah, I can probably keep a few of them, or you know, half of them, or whatever it looked like. I know that Jesus said, if you even think about it, you're in trouble. Okay, well, you know, think about murdering somebody. Okay, well, I don't, you know, I maybe can kind of not screw that one up or something. So we take these for real, but then there's some of them that we honestly just, we kind of disregard. We kind of go, well, that's Old Testament. I'm not under the law anymore. But we'd follow them, the other ones, like murdering, like, okay, I live in the New Testament of grace. Is it okay to go around murdering? Well, that would be ridiculous. Stealing? Well, I mean, if you want to steal a chair or a Bible, I'm not really going to be too upset with you, but like, you know, you're probably going to feel bad. You know, the next day you're going to come, you're like, hey, where's my chair? Well, you took it home. Like, you got to bring it back if you want to sit on it. Like, so, you know, you understand that. But then when it comes to taking verse 8, a Sabbath rest, you're like, that's up for discussion. Like, I don't know about that one. You know, I could kind of take it or leave it. Are you kidding yourself? Like, don't kid yourself. When you don't rest, your physical body will make you rest. You ever got sick before? Because you just worked 14 days straight. You didn't take a rest. And your body is going to respond to it and go, we're done. You're taking a rest whether you like it or not, because now we're in bed. Now you're in the hospital. So I'm not judging and saying that's always the reason. But it's so important for our physical and mental and spiritual health to rest. I think we kind of balk at that one time. We kind of fight that one sometimes. I even grew up in a generation. I mean, I'm so old now to even admit this. I mean, that's ridiculous to say. My last name is Young, so we're still hanging on to being young till I die. But can you remember a day when on Sunday, when I grew up in Prince Rupert, like it was hard to find milk or eggs because everything was closed except PJ's down the road, which was really awesome. The little corner store was awesome. They had beef jerky and it was delicious. But anyway, you know, on that day, you couldn't. So that's why we went as old neighbors. Can I borrow a cup of sugar? Like, that's where that came from, because you honestly couldn't go buy sugar. Like, and that was my generation. Now Sunday is just, everything's open. I used to be in retail. The store that I worked for was not open on Sunday. It's currently open every day of the year, even on Christmas. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's open all the time, 24/7 stores. So why do we do that? Is that helping us? By not resting, has that increased our knowledge? Has that increased our capacity? Has that increased our health? Has that increased our spirituality? No, absolutely not. If anything, it's gone the other way. We talked about this last Sunday as well. I feel like the more that we walk away from the principles in this book and we stop following the ways of God, our mental health is increased in the world. And I think the more that we can get back to these principles, that maybe our mental health might come into... possibly, like, would that be okay with you if that happened one day? I think it would be amazing. Let's try our best to follow it. Not because it's, again, rules, but because we want to get better. The opportunity that, now, for ladies, I apologize, this might not be totally relevant for you. I'm not a lady. I don't know how to make the connection. But for men, let me just pause for a second. Most men that are leaders, CEOs, managers, even pastors, do these kind of professions because they've had a horrible upbringing. And for a lot of them, they've had their fathers abandon them. And so they feel like, I'm going to prove that guy wrong. And I'm going to prove the world wrong. And we work tirelessly. We work so hard. And then when we retire, we're even busier than when we worked. I don't know why that is. Why don't you go back to work? You weren't as busy. But when you're just constantly going. There's a difference between like having a full schedule and getting things done. Men should do that. I absolutely agree with that. But if you never rest, if you never vacation, if you never pause, that's actually something wrong with your mental health. We have to do it. I can say that with boldness because I'm that way. Okay, I was abandoned. I know that. You know that. Most of you here know that story. My dad, you know, had fun with my mom and she was married. She cheated. And I'm the result of that. I'm a bastard child that was born in a Hyatt hotel in Vancouver by accident. My mom's husband looked at me and said, that's not my son. I'm out of here. So I was born like that. And so there's a part of me that's like, how dare you abandon me? How dare you leave me? I will prove you wrong. I will make something of myself. I will work tirelessly. I have to fight against that because that is not good for my mental health. That's not good for the church. That's not good for you. That's not good for my wife. That's not good for my kids. I know that. But up here doesn't know that sometimes. I gotta let this thing, you gotta start talking to that thing and tell it to chill out a little bit. I understand that. Many of us are in that boat. Don't judge yourself. Don't feel bad. But at least recognize it so you can take a holiday, so you can take a day off, so you can Sabbath. Now, for me, a Sabbath on Sunday is ridiculous. I'm here 8, we're here till 2, we got this thing tonight. So I Sabbath on Saturday. When I don't Sabbath, I know my week. It's not as well. I look in the rearview mirror and think, oh yeah, I didn't Sabbath this week. I didn't find time to rest. No wonder why I feel tired. And it's only Monday. Like, you know, I still got the rest of the week to get through. Like, I understand that. So we've got to face that. It's the real feeling. It's a real emotion that we have to go through. I am so grateful the way that God ministers and speaks. You know, this was like months ago. We were like, okay. You know, 2 years ago, we started talking, Beth, Pastor Ben and I. Months ago, we started planning, going to 2 services. We had this little idea, this thing about unstuck. We're going to unstick our community and unstick our lives and that kind of stuff. So we put that one out there on the internet and what did we do with that one again? Oh, yeah, you guys hand-delivered that one because the mail strike. I mean, it was just, we couldn't get it out there. This one we put in the newspaper, and then this one actually made it in the mail when it finally got unstuck, and so that was really cool. So we had this kind of series in our head. And so we go through that, we go to 2 services, and then I've said to this all along, and why do we say things like this? I said, I'm not really a series guy, I kind of preach from week to week, it's whatever God's put on my heart, and they're like, you're going to do a series? I'm like, okay. We did a series, and then, oh, you're going to do a series on mental health now? I'm like, oh, you're doing a series now, it's the end of the year. So I love doing series. You know, I just want to hear that. And so I don't know where it's going to go in the new year, but anyway. So now we're on mental health. But you know, when we put out the unstuck thing, I found stuff all over the internet. You know, famous people writing books, all these podcasts, kind of stuff, unstuck. I thought, well, thank you, Jesus, that we're all in agreement. We're all listening to the Spirit. I talk about mental health now, all of a sudden it's going like wildfire. All these things coming at me, all these podcasts, all this kind of stuff. Only shared something with me. I just want to share a little bit with you, something I saw on the internet. I think it was really helpful. Like psychologists and physio, all these kind of, these names and letters after the name, and I apologize, I got them all wrong, but there we go. Very intelligent people. Studied 15,000 people across 25 countries, and here's some of the results that they came back with mental health. If they met with these people and just talked with them and just took notes over all these years now, this is some of the results that they're finding in people. Exercising one body has lasting effects. Like if you can just keep doing this, okay, your muscles will like pop up, you know, it's going to happen. But it's much more helpful to exercise your soul and your spirit for your body. Exercise for the body is helpful. It does help. But if you exercise your soul and your spirit, if you feed that, it has so much more impact on your body. Wow. Now, exercise is good. I'm not downplaying that. A sense of belonging is a powerful healer and comforter when we feel like we belong to something. We learn to love others. We learn to be kind. And we have this goal to support one another. And we become sensitive to each other's burdens and our concerns when we do it in community. That's what they're finding, these results. It's helping their mental health by going to church. Participating in church activities focuses our attention again, on others' needs and not my own needs. You know, if you pay money and you go to see somebody, you should do that. That's awesome. But they will say, you know, a couple things, but the two overarching things they'll say to you is, get in community, get some accountability, and do it every week. And then they'll say, go volunteer. Because when you volunteer and you get your eyes off yourself and you get your eyes on somebody else, that'll actually help with your mental health. That's what they'll teach you. So I'm taking paychecks later. I just wanted to give that to you. So there you go. I'm just joking with you now, having some fun. This is really, really important. We talked about this last week as well. Like, the church cares. It's been caring for 2,000 years for each other. There's a community and a support system. It's super significant when you come here. I know when I used to be in retail for a year before I got hired on as a pastor in the Yukon, I could only actually go to church once a month. And so what I found was, like, that is not going to satisfy or fill me up or take care of me or be able to worship Jesus. So I made sure I went to Bible studies and different things throughout the week because I wanted to be in the community of believers because I knew that was good for my soul. And so again, when we looked at Paul and Silas last week, we saw them in chains. They were still able to worship and they were still able to pray. And this week, when we talk about the message here, we're able to take a rest because it's ludicrous to think that, hey, if I work 24/7, I'll get more accomplished than if I take a day off. We think if I take a day off, oh my gosh, the world's going to stop spinning or something. My world's going to spin out of control. It's not the truth. And again, though, it's not a list. As we go through this mental health series, I'm going to speak on another point next week. When we think about praying and worshiping, as we've just read God's word a lot, and then we rest and we Sabbath, don't make a list every week. Don't think, look, I did it. Yeah. Next week you're going to come here, I prayed, I worshiped. Don't do it because I've said to do it. I mean, do it because God's word says to do it, absolutely. But do it because you want to be in relationship with a God that loves you intimately. Like when I pray in these chairs, you know, as I've said this to you often, I just go up and down every chair and I just pray over every chair. Why am I doing that? You know, I was just praying, and I just remember God stopping me like, why are you doing this? I said, it's a good thing to do, you know, invite the Holy Spirit. So when you sit down, hopefully you can encounter Jesus. Yeah, okay, yeah, good. You know, it's probably a good, as a pastor, I should probably do these kinds of things. They look spiritual, right, as a pastor. But I remember God saying like, no, like seriously, why are you doing this? And I just was just broken by this idea. So God, I just want to be close to you. I want to hear your voice. It's just me. I do things like that. Just, you know, like out of routine, I'll do them. But God, I'm serious. Like, I want you to do something wonderful in me and in our church. And when we worship, we don't worship because we know the song. Oh, I love this song. This song I can really connect with the Lord with. These other songs, I don't know the song, you know. Like, no, I worship because God sent his son Jesus to the cross on my behalf because he knew that I was broken and I needed help. God, I worship you. I lift my voice, I lift my hands. I don't care, I'll get on my face. What, God, whatever that looks like, I want to worship my God. And so when I take a day of rest, it's not like, I know if I rest one day a week, my life will be so much better. No, I rest because I trust God that he's got a better plan for me and that I can connect with him, I can slow down, and he wants to commune with me as I rest because it ministers to my heart. And it ministers to my mind. It ministers to my soul. And I am closer to God when I rest. Oh, man, that's so important to do. Not a to-do list. It's about a personal relationship with our God. I hope you would say amen to that. I do want to close now. We'll talk a little bit more next week about it. So thank God for the ability to pray, to worship, to read his word, and to find rest in Jesus' name. So God, this morning, as we open your word, I'm so grateful for the truth of it. Father, as we open the word, I'm so grateful that it speaks to my heart. And so, Father, as we read today, maybe I have a blockage. Maybe my heart is like stone. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, would you do a heart surgery in me? Would you open up that blockage in Jesus' name so that I can hear clearly from heaven how much you love me, how proud you are of me, how much you care for me, and that it would block out every other negative, nasty, disgusting, you know, things that are speaking over my life that are trying to condemn me in Jesus' name. And so, Father, as we look at your word as well, it says that it will renew my mind. My mind is so deceitful and confusing, and the thoughts that come in there are so wicked and evil. Father, I need a renewal. Father, as I find rest in you, well, I feel like I can breathe deeper. I feel like I can be closer to you. Thank you for that. I can't do this on my own. I'm lost without you, Father. I need you, Holy Spirit. Would you come into my heart? Would you fill up my heart and my mind in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen.